By what? The water and the Word. The water and the Word. Our text this morning, I would like to return to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Now, this teaching this morning, it follows our text from last Sunday. And last Sunday, we were in Galatians 5. Do you remember? The Bible talked to us about how the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another in each of our lives, so that we don't do the things that the flesh wants to do. Well, we talked last week about how as Christians, each one of us struggles against sin, and why that's why we hate sin in our lives. We hate sin because we want to turn away from it. We struggle with it. But this text today from Galatians chapter 6 follows hard on that teaching, because Paul reminds us that just like we must take care of our own spiritual lives, we too also must take care of each other. And he talks about something which is actually, I think, very relevant. It's very reasonable to us here in Roseau County, because all of us are connected to the land pretty closely one way or another. He talks to us about sowing and harvesting, seasons of labor and seasons of harvest. And the main idea of this text is that sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. Sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. Well, we talked last week about the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And one of the ways that we win the battle against our old nature is the walking in the Spirit. You remember that? And we talked about, how do you walk in the Spirit? You bring God's Word into your life. You sow to your spiritual life. Well, as I was looking at the text this week, it's talking about the same thing. The Bible says, he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's verse 8, and yet this text broadens this also to our fellowship in the church. So I want to read this again, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, because this is written to the congregation. Paul begins with the word brethren. He's talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, the true church. He says, brethren, if a man, and he's talking about a man in the church. You see, this follows right on the heels of the struggle that each of us has against sin. He says, brothers, if a man is overtaken in any sin or trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a man in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, as I was reading these words about reaping what you were sowing, I was reminded of that kind of a computer phrase, garbage in, garbage out. Many of you have heard that. You know, back in the old days, we used to have to program computers to tell. Now they come with programs on them. But even then, you know, if you want your computer to do something for you, sort out data or keep a register of phone numbers, if you don't put good data in, the computer is going to give you garbage back. I mean, garbage in, garbage out. But it's also true, isn't it, in in the life of a farmer. I mean, a farmer's got to plant good seed if he's going to get a good crop. If he plants old seed or seed that's defective or contaminated, he's going to get a crop that's no good. What you plant is what you reap. It's true in our private lives, but it's also true in the broader context of the church as well. Many people don't understand that these words are true in life and in faith. Garbage in, garbage out. Last Sunday we looked at Galatians 5, which was a call to walk in the Spirit. And each person battles against their own old nature and sin in this world. And we were reminded that those who practice sin will not enter the kingdom of God, but those who walk in the Spirit have eternal life. Well, the text today says and explains how necessary and how vital it is in the church for each of us to also sow good things. Each of us needs the church, and we must work and sow good things in the church for the sake of others. For the sake of others. Just as in our own personal life, so also in the congregation, you reap what you sow. Sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. Verse 8 says, "He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." It's like, in the broader context, a mother at home has got to take care of herself. Right? I mean, she's got to eat right. She's got to get her sleep, which is tough when you've got little ones. But you've got to get your rest. My daughter-in-law has got a three-week-old right now. She's struggling with the fact of feedings every 2 hours. But she's got to get her rest, too, and she's got to eat properly, right? She's got to take care of herself. But then a mother also takes care of her husbands and takes care of her husband, takes care of her children, right? And the home flourishes. Take care of yourself, take care of your family. As Christians, we must sow to our own spirits and walk in the light of God's word for our own salvation. But also, as Christians, we must sow good things to the church for the sake of our children and our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are, in fact, our family. A family that is ignored or neglected will fall apart. And so will a Christian congregation. And today's text tells us that sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. I think the most important thing is to define, first of all, what is the church? Because there are people who write in local papers, for example, who don't understand what the church is. In fact, many people don't. But our text today explains, first of all, the church is the household of faith. Second of all, our text encourages us to remember that the church has got to be tended, just like a garden or a field has to be tended. But third of all, we receive this assurance in Scripture that it's the Holy Spirit who guides His church. The church is the household of faith. We see that in verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Bottom line, let's bring it right up front, because let's understand what we're talking about. The Bible says that the church is the household of faith. Well, if you use that definition, which is God's word, then you can take a lot of things and say, well, that really isn't the church. If it's not the household of faith, it's something else. Okay? What is faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. The true church is the gathering of people who believe that God's word is true. God's word brings us the Ten Commandments that if we could live by them, we would have eternal life. Jesus said that. Remember about 3 weeks ago in the Bible, we talked about the lawyer who came to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was testing Jesus, trying to trip him up. And Jesus just turned the test around because he was a lawyer. He says, what does the law say? Jesus said, keep the Ten Commandments and you'll be saved. Of course, we all know that we can't. We cannot keep the Ten Commandments, but God's Word brings us the Ten Commandments. Then God's Word shows us where we failed. And God's Word then shows us that we're condemned. The Bible tells us that judgment is coming. Acts chapter 17, verse 36. For God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Time is not just going to go on and on and on. The Bible says God has appointed a day when he will judge the world. So God's Word shows us these things, but then also God's Word shows us that he loves us so much that he came down here himself and took our punishment on his back and in his hands and feet and body, the punishment that we deserve, so that by faith in him and in God's promises, we may know, you may know, that your sins are forgiven and you have eternal life. The church, what is it? The church is the household of faith, believers in the word and the promises of God. Nothing more and nothing less. God's word can be twisted, however, in many ways by those who have wicked agendas, and God knows this too. God warns the church in several places. 2 Peter 3:16, the Bible says that untaught and unstable people twist Scripture to their own destruction. How do they do that? Well, some people twist the plain meaning of Scripture because, by the way, Scripture is clear. You don't need a master of divinity to understand what the Bible says. Some people twist the plain meaning of Scripture to satisfy their own desires because they want to walk in the flesh, and so they twist Scripture, hoping to give themselves permission to do that. Some people twist Scriptures and say it's more important for you to follow your own conscience than it is to follow God's Word. Other people preach that God is doing something new and different from what he says in the Bible. Some people say that what the Bible declares to be sin is no longer sin because the Holy Spirit's doing something new. Well, God knew that these days would come because God knows all things. And so we read in Jude 4, and if this doesn't describe our day, I don't know what does. Jude 4, God warns the church and he says, "For certain men have crept into the church unnoticed who long ago were marked out for condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude verse 4. 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 5 says, the Bible says, "But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, proud, blasphemers, without self-control, despisers of good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," which means they'll look like pastors or they'll look like Christians, "but denying the power of God. From such people, turn away." 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 5. The church, though, the Bible tells us the true church is the household of faith. The true church believes God's word is true. And we measure ourselves against God's word. We don't measure God's word against what's politically correct in our day. There are blasphemers here in our own town of Roseau who profanely declare that Christ's church is full of hypocrites and bigots. And why? Because the church will not conform itself to the fallen world we live in, which is full of sin. But instead, the church conforms itself to the Word of God. In reality, the household of faith and everyone in it, we know that we're sinners saved by the grace of God only. And we're trusting in the grace of God, and we're seeking to live in the light of His Word. The believer has been given by God a heart of repentance. We want to turn away from sin. And we trust in the promises of God. We don't condemn people, we condemn sin. And it's the household of faith that Christ created, which goes out into this dark and fallen world with the law and the gospel to rescue people from damnation. Verse 8 says, "For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life." Just as in our own personal life, also in our congregation, you reap what you sow. And sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. I say that even as I hear this little one down here in the front pew gurgling away. What a precious sound in the church that is. The next generation coming to hear God's Word, which is living and powerful. This little child down here, the Word of God is actually working in her heart, even at her own age, because God's Word is powerful and living and always accomplishes what God sends it for. But the church must be tended. Paul writes to the church, Christians, he says, brethren, in verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, in other words, if one of us falls into sin, you who are spiritual, in other words, you who are walking in the Spirit, just as we read in Galatians 5, restore this fallen person in a spirit of gentleness, but consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Are Christians perfect? No. We settled that last week. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. Those who are walking in the Spirit, however, are able to defeat their old nature. But sometimes we do fail. And God calls brothers and sisters in Christ not to condemn that person, but to help them. God calls us not to ignore sin. And God calls us not to pretend that there is no sin. But we are called to use the Word of God to show our erring brother and sister how they're sinning, and then also to bring them God's warning. He says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 18, he carefully explains how the church is supposed to practice church discipline. You know, we have a failing in church, in most churches, in that we do tend to ignore sin. You know, a young person in the church meets somebody and they decide to start living together openly, not married. That's sin. And God calls us as brothers and sisters in Christ to talk to them and say, you're sowing to the flesh. This leads to destruction. And Jesus tells us how to do that in Matthew 18, verse 15, which is that whole section's another sermon someday. But Jesus is very careful to point out how we're to help a brother and sister who's falling into sin. And everything is meant to restore them back into walking with the Spirit. In the end, after several opportunities to repent, if the person will not turn away from sin, then Jesus says they must be removed from the membership of the church. And again, it's not in anger and it's not in cruelty. Everything is meant to bring them back to a right relationship with the Lord, bring them back into the love of God. The Bible says you are your brother's keeper. Ultimately, it's true that none of us would be saved if it hadn't been for another Christian in the true church that brought us the Word of God. Each generation, Each generation must be taught the truth of the law and the beauty of the gospel. It's true today as it was in the day of Moses. We read in Deuteronomy 6 this morning, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You shall teach these words to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." Where would any of us be today if the church had died out two generations ago? You know where we'd be. We'd all be damned, lost sinners, with no hope. So just like in our own faith, within the church, this congregation, we have to sow good things, and we reap what we sow. Dear friends, if we neglect the church, it will die. Others may live. Other congregations will live because Christ says his church, the universal church, will prevail until the end of time. But this congregation, like any congregation, is only kept alive by the Holy Spirit working through its own members. It's like a garden that you plant. You have to tend it. You have to weed it. You have to water it. You have to take care of it in order for it to bring forth good fruit. Churches close their doors only because of neglect. You reap what you sow. Our text this morning says pastors have to be supported in prayer and in their teaching and in their physical needs. Sunday school classes have to be taught. Christian education materials have to be found. Vacation Bible school helpers have to volunteer. Youth group leaders must be called. Lawns must be mowed. Light bulbs have to be replaced. Vacuums have to be carpeted. No, carpets have to be vacuumed. And food has to be prepared. You reap what you sow. And sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest as each new generation hears the word of God and comes to salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is the household of faith. And ultimately, the Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit working in us that keeps the church going. Because just as we talked to the Sunday school teachers here this morning, none of us feels sufficient for these things. One of the funny things is when I went to seminary, you know, I came out of the Navy. I was a combat officer in the Navy. I spent 26 years of my life learning how to wage warfare. And then I was called to seminary. And I thought, I can't do this. I mean, I love the Lord Jesus, but I can't. And so the first day in seminary, the new class always comes up and they give their personal testimony. And like everyone in my class, I said, I know God wants me here, but I don't see how he can possibly call me to preach. And then for the next 3 years I was in seminary, every new class came in and every man said the same thing. I talked to Dr. Munseth, the dean of the seminary, about that, and I said, you hear this from all the men. He says, well, almost all of them. The ones we worry about are the ones who come here saying, you know, that they're ready now to preach. He says, we don't worry about the men who come here and say they don't know how they're going to do this. None of us, the Bible says, are sufficient for these things, whatever it may be. Whatever God calls you to do to help the church, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that makes you sufficient for these things. The work needs to be done. You hear the call. God gives you the energy. God gives you the time. God gives you the ability to do the work. Ultimately, the church is guided by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unbeliever, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because these things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:13. John chapter 14, John chapter 16. In those two chapters, Jesus says he has sent his Holy Spirit to to be your comforter, to be your teacher, to guide you and this congregation in all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us power to proclaim the gospel right up to the gates of hell. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all of the earth." Dear friends, the true church is the body of Christ. The true church belongs to Jesus Christ, and the true church proclaims Jesus Christ. And Christ calls us to be faithful. Sowing to the church yields an eternal harvest. Jesus says, the Bible says in verse 10, "Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those in the household of faith." I want to close with the benediction in Ephesians 3:20 because it applies to the church, but it doesn't mean that our worship service is over. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Well, our hymn, as we close our worship service this